Well, I'm not sure what I'm going to do, but it's worth being here for that. Amen. Sister Melissa, thank you so much. I have a biased opinion. She belongs to me and mine, but that's as good as it gets. Amen. Bless your heart. What a beautiful song and a beautiful arrangement. What a great job, for sure, indeed. Thank you again for being here. I'm glad you've come. We're going to celebrate Christmas. We've been doing that for about... Commercial world's been doing that since about the end of September or earlier. We've been doing it for a little while, and last Sunday evening, by the way, just to look back a little bit, last Sunday evening, the kids' little simple Christmas program. It wasn't a great theatrical production, but I tell you what, it was so good. Fellowship was so good, folks. I just, and Christmas is a time to. Just think about things. I think like this. I am so thankful for our church and our church family, you know. Speaking of, Brother Bransky's not feeling real well this morning. Bless his heart, but we'll get him going here, all right? Be sure and pray for him today. But we had a great service last week. We've had a great service this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 2. I hope a very familiar passage of Scripture. Luke, in the book of Luke, the writer there, Luke was probably not a Jew, almost certainly was not. He was the only writer of the New Testament that was not a Jew. Luke was a physician, a medical doctor. Now, that's way yonder different than what we have today in the world of medical science. And their training was not anywhere comparative to what we have today. But yet, he would have been a very intellectual person. He would have been advanced in his education. Keep in mind, at this day and time, the vast majority of all people were illiterate in the sense that they did not have formal education. They may have had some abilities to read, write, and such, but for the most part, they didn't have formal education. Luke was a very, very intelligent man, a very educated man. And in his writing, he gives us the most detailed account of the birth of Christ. He gives us more information than any of the other writers, or the other writer, actually. John and Mark do not mention the birth of Christ. They start in his adulthood. But Matthew and Luke do, but Luke gives us more information than does Matthew. But if you want to read it all, and we'll do that tonight, we'll read both from Matthew and Luke, plus some other scriptures tonight. So we find in Luke chapter 2, the familiar account of the birth of Christ. I love to preach sermons from this account from about the Christmas season. One of my favorites, and I've done it last year. You've heard all these multiple times, but they never get old. They never get old. Let me tell you for sure. One of my favorites that is often, I think, neglected and not part of the Christmas account is where Jesus is taken to the temple. He would have actually been 39 or 40 days old when they did that. When Simeon and Anna met him there and worshipped him there, and I tell you, I just love to try to visualize old Simeon there and waiting on the consolation of Israel, led by the Spirit. I just love to think about when he saw Mary and Joseph, and through the indwelling of the Spirit, he knew who it was, and he went there as an old man, and he took that little... Asked, he said, I like to think, he said, could I hold that little fella for a minute? And oh, I'm telling you, when he knew he was holding the Son of God. Totally different sermon. Let's read Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass in those days... There went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxation was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. they went to their own city for somewhat of a census. This would have been their hometown, so to speak, where they had been born and such. And they would go there basically for a census so the Roman government could know how many Jews there were and keep track of them. And it was a required thing, and so they had to travel there so that the Roman government would be sure and get everything they could out of these Jewish people. So the taxation would come, but this is somewhat of a census as they go to Bethlehem for this. And all went to be taxed, one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. He went there to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn child, son. And I think that's important. It doesn't say child. I about messed up. Their firstborn son, fulfillment of prophecy, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger because there was no room for them in the end. If you look at your Bible map sometime, you'll see that where they came from Nazareth, way up in the northern part of Israel, up by the Sea of Galilee, it was quite a trek for them to travel, probably on a donkey of some sort and walking all the way down to Bethlehem. Bethlehem is just 2 or 3 miles south, kind of southeast or southwest of Jerusalem. It probably, in her condition, it very likely took them maybe 3 days probably at least, to make that journey. You ladies, picture yourself. You're just a day or two before giving birth, and you've got to ride a donkey for 3 days. Just try to fathom that. It was a very difficult time. We know that he was born there, and let's read on, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, and you shall find the babe. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Heavenly Father God, we rejoice and we praise you today for the birth of Christ, for your sending him, for his coming, for the announcement that we look at this morning of the birth of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your love that you show us every day and that you have shown us in Jesus Christ. Let us be certain today that we keep Christ at our Christmas, that we remind our little ones of the importance of what Christmas really means. Lord, open our hearts and minds to receive it afresh this morning. Lord, grant me preaching grace, and I thank you for the privilege to present your Son today. And Lord, we praise you for it. We give you that praise, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Jesus, Joseph and Mary coming from Nazareth all the way down, just straight south, probably followed, very likely followed the route that went beside the Jordan River down to the toward the head of the Dead Sea, and then they struck off to the west just a little bit, probably went through Jerusalem and just another 2 or 3 miles down to Bethlehem. They went there because that was considered one of the cities of David. Now, most of the time, when you hear that phrase, the city of David, It's talking about Jerusalem, because that is the that is considered the city of David because of the fact that when he became king of Israel many years earlier than this, he established Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, built a temple there, or prepared for that. Solomon, his son, built a temple there, united the country there, and it's often called that. But here it refers to Bethlehem. Now keep in mind, at this particular time, and in most of the cities that we think of, the city of Bethlehem, it was a little town. It was a little village. All right? Jerusalem at this time was a fairly large city. Not nearly as large as Fort Smith even probably then, but it was a large city. Bethlehem and most of the towns in the nation of Israel at this time are small little towns. They're not very big. This was not like they went into a bustling metropolis and there were hotels and motels everywhere and such. But when they did get there, we know the account that they came into the city and they got there late. There were lots of other peoples because they were all going there in obedience to the decree of the Roman Emperor, Caesar Augustus at the time. And they didn't have a choice. And they all got there quicker than Mary and Joseph because of her condition. I like to think, we don't know this for a fact, I like to think maybe they got there late in the day and they went to an inn. Not like we have hotels and motels today. They went to an inn. Usually this is a place where a person had a couple of rooms that they would rent out in their house or something. And they went to this inn and the innkeeper said, "Well, I am so sorry, but I don't have anything." And so they went to another inn and "I don't know of any rooms anywhere in town. There's so many people here." And they went to another, and I don't know how many they went to. This is speculation. But they went to one, and this kind innkeeper, he said, "You know, I don't have any rooms. They're all taken, and I'll tell you, I know there's not anything in town." He says, "I have a shelter out back, stable. We keep livestock in it, the sheep in it and such, but they're out in the fields this time of year. And I can offer you that. And I'm sorry, but that's all that I know that there is." And so Mary and Joseph graciously said, we'll take it. We've got to have rest. Mary has to lay down. Mary has to have some comfort. So I think that they went in there and Joseph began, as I wrote in a bulletin a couple of weeks ago, to scurry around and It's cool, it's damp, it's very likely a cave. It may have been something like this, probably a cave or a natural incline with inside a cliff or something. And they went in there and had probably a couple of oil lamps. They didn't flip the light on. And it was damp and it was cool. It didn't smell good in there, guys. Smell like where you kept livestock. And Joseph began to clean off a place where they could lay some blankets on the floor on the ground, so Mary could lay, and he fixed something to put behind her head. And Mary says, "Joseph, I'm in labor. Joseph, it's time. The baby is coming." And he begins to hurry. And I don't know that Joseph and Mary were the only ones there. Surely there was some kind lady somewhere. Somebody went and got it to help her. And we don't know. And she said, "Joseph, we're going to have somewhere to lay the baby. Take that manger there and clean it out. Put some fresh straw in it and put a blanket of some sort in it, a cloth." A manger, by the way, is very much what you see depicted in our Christmas programs with our kids and such. It would have been a feed trough. I was raised on a cow farm. I know what a feed trough is. It's where you dump the feed and the cattle come to eat. That's what they use for the first bed. And so Joseph cleans that up and Mary goes into the labor. And folks, she's giving birth to the Son of God, but the birthing process was just like any other normal woman. And she goes through the pains of birth and she goes through that And I'm sure God the Father was looking down proud of His Son that was about to be born. I know Joseph was right there. And I think the birthing process was very normal and hopefully easy. And Jesus is born. Jesus is born. Swaddling clothes were just very simply the wrap of the culture and the day that they normally did. I'm sure she brought those along. because she was afraid this would happen. And so she brought that along and such, and she wrapped him in that. They cleaned him up, cut the umbilical cord, and Mary held that little baby. I love that song, Mary, Did You Know? And when she touched that little baby, and she kissed him on the forehead or the cheek that first time, she touched the very person of God. Oh, how glorious. Joseph knew, he understood, Mary understood, this is not just another little boy. This is our baby, but he's special and he's unique. And after the initial holding of that child, probably nursing that child for the first time, she's exhausted. And she said, here, Joseph, and he held him for a while and said, lay him there in the manger and we've got to rest. As that all takes place, God is preparing a birth announcement. What do you do when the baby comes? You know, this day and time, man, the phone begins to ring and it begins to buzz and beep because the texts are coming in. The baby's here. Several years ago, you announced, it's a boy, it's a girl. Now you know that 6 months before you have them. But when the baby comes, you text, you call, you announce the birth of that child. Because, folks, that's a big occasion. That's one of the biggest occasions in the life of people today is the birth of children. And, folks, this was too. And, you know, as a rule, the father and the mother are there together when the baby's born. And so the father is the one that comes out into the waiting area. The father's the one that comes out to the grandparents are there, the aunts, the uncles, the siblings, and whatever. And he says, he's here. He's here. You got to know how much he weighs. Everything's great. All mom and baby are fine. He's healthy. He's happy. He's crying. And the father makes a birth announcement. Folk, let me tell you what. We're going to look for a minute this morning at the father's birth announcement when Jesus was born. And it wasn't Joseph. I think Joseph announced it. I think Joseph told the folks around about it. He might have stuck his head out to the innkeeper and said, thank you so much for letting us have this stable. Thank you so much. As crude as it is, we are so thankful. The baby is here and everything's okay. But we see the Father, God the Father, he makes the birth announcement. He does so by sending the messenger, an angel of the Lord. Look in verse 9. And lo, an angel of the Lord came. The word angel means messenger. It is a messenger sent directly from God. Now, this angel appeared to the shepherds, and we're going to talk about them in just a second. But this angel came, an angel of God, a direct messenger from God. Now, God could have used anyone. He could have used the normal means, a Joseph announcing it to the innkeeper, and the innkeeper announcing it to some folks that were there with him. Hey, that couple in the stables had their baby, and the news would have spread, but he sent an angel. I think, and a little by theology, okay, be careful with that. I think it was Gabriel, because if you go back into Luke chapter 1, verse 26, it was Gabriel, we're told specifically, that told Mary that she was going to have this child of the Holy Spirit. I think Gabriel is the one that makes announcements to us pertaining to things of God today. I think Gabriel will be the voice of the archangel when we hear the trump of God. I think it'll be Aunt Gabriel. I don't care who it is. It's a messenger from God, all right? It was that day. The announcement, you think, this is the Son of God. This is the King of Israel. That announcement, the first place that it should have been announced, the messenger should have run up to Jerusalem, to the palace, and said, the Savior, the Messiah has been born. The first place should have been in the temple. But it wasn't. It was in a little old manger, a little old cattle stall, a little old place where sheep and cattle and donkeys and maybe camels even, when they came. That messenger was the birth of Christ, and it was offered that day. And here's something special about this angel. The angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. When a dad comes out of the room into the waiting area and he announces, I'm telling you, he's got a smile big as Texas. He's excited. But folk, I'm telling you, this angel had the glory of God. This angel had the glory of God about him and upon those to whom he was making that announcement. And he made the announcement. The baby has been born. Folk, I'm telling you, the one that brought the message of the birth of Jesus Christ was like none other. No other announcement had ever been made like this. And I love to whom he made this announcement initially. Look in verse 8. And there were in the same country there around Bethlehem, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. This tells us that likely Jesus was born in the spring, okay? We don't know that. The Jerusalem north and south is very similar to where we are. If you circle the globe and look at it, they would have been in winter. Their winters are not nearly like ours, but it's not as harsh. But it's likely because the shepherds were out in the fields at night that it was in the spring. But again, irrelevant. But those shepherds were out there that night tending their sheep. It was quiet. They had them in sheepfolds. We've talked about sheepfolds before. That's enclosures where they would keep their sheep at night. They had their sheep there, and the sheep had settled down, and they were quiet. The shepherds probably, and there would be multiple shepherds with multiple sheep in one sheepfold, and a sheepfold here and there, and they had probably built a fire, and there were two or three or four shepherds here, and over here there would be a couple of three more, and there would be one over here, and there were multiple shepherds there that night. These guys are going to be the recipients of a tremendous announcement. I think one of the two greatest announcements that were ever made. That, and he is not here, but he is risen. Amen. But these guys are out there. And again, think about who should have been the first to hear. The king is born, the king of Israel, the son of God. The first person that should have known should have been the high priest, so that he could have told the crier to go out and announce that the Messiah has arrived. The first person that should have known was Herod, the king of Israel. The first person that should, you would think, would have known would have been all of those of the great political palaces, maybe even the Roman governors, Serenius at this time. Nah. We're not going to worry about those guys up in the palace. God announced the birth of Christ to the most humble and lowly of people in the region. Shepherds. Shepherds that had to work 24/7. They worked all day tending to their sheep. They slept with them there in their folds at night. They watched over them. These were just as common, poor, everyday fellows as anybody in the city and in the region. Folk, I tell you what, I'm glad that God reached out to the common man first. Now, he excludes no one, but he reaches out to the common man. And I look at this congregation this morning, folk, and I praise God for this, we're just common folk. We're just good old common folks that love each other, love the Lord. That's obvious by your being here today. But he made the announcement to just common people. But not only did he make that to those shepherds that night, but he also, notice, made it to you and me. Read verse 10. And the angel said unto them, I'm telling you what, when this angel appeared in the sky, they had a visual appearance of an angelic being in the form of a man there in the sky talking to them. And they were sore afraid. We don't use the word sore. They were scared to death, and folk, you and me would have been too. You're out there, and it's quiet, and it's peaceful, and all of a sudden, in the glory of God, the brightness, there's an angelic being there. He looks like a man, and he speaks to them, and he said unto them, I'll find it here, and he said unto them, fear not. He said, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Folk, God always offers us calm in a time of fear. He says, fear not, for behold, I bring you great good tidings of great joy, which shall be to you few fellas right here. No, to all people. You and me. Folk, this announcement pertains to you and me this morning just as much as it did to those shepherds some 2,000 plus years ago as they were out there and that angel appeared to them. And what was it he told them? Verse 10 through 14. What was it he told them? He said, I bring you good tidings of great joy. He says, I bring you good news. You know, not all announcements are good. All of you have received announcements. You've received news that was discouraging, frightening, disheartening. I always use to illustrate. It's always Aaron Homer. I had to speak to this kid about this. But you know, Labor Day 1999, when he had his terrible car accident. Well, I got that call. That was an announcement I needed to hear, but it wasn't good news. I got that call about noon last Saturday. It was an announcement I needed to hear, but it wasn't good news, and it went from bad to worse. Every morning when the doctor would come in for the first 2 or 3 days, he made an announcement about his, you know, it wasn't good news. But folks, let me tell you what this was. I like good news. I like the good news when the birth announcement is made. You know, I've had my 8 grandbabies, had 9. God chose to take one of them on to be with Him, and that's all right. I'd love to have had him, but I know what he's enjoying today. But every time one of those babies is born, and they come out and said, everything's good. It's good news. And so the angels presented that morning an announcement that was good news. A great joy. And it shall be all to all people. Now here's the announcement itself. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. They knew that would have been Bethlehem. A Savior. Who is Christ the Lord. A Savior. One who saves, one who offers salvation, one who is able to do something in this case that nobody else could do. Folk, it was because that little baby was born in the natural realm of birth in that old damp, musty, smelly stable that night. Mary gave birth, folks. She gave birth to the Savior that would save you and me from the eternity in hell and give us the hope and the peace and all of the great things that we have today in our salvation. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. Folk, these shepherds were probably all Jewish. They knew about the coming Messiah. They had heard about Him. Now the nation as a whole rejected Christ. He came unto His own and His own received Him not, John chapter 1. But I'm telling you what, I believe with all my heart, I believe with all my heart that those shepherds, I believe they got saved that night. Not because they were chosen special, but because they received the announcement of Christ. That's what our world needs to do today. The world today needs to receive the announcement of Christ. The world today needs to realize that born unto us in the city of David some 2,000 plus years ago was a Savior, and He was Christ the Lord. He was not the son of Joseph. I'm sure Joseph nurtured Him and brought Him up in a special way as His earthly father, but I'm telling you, He was Christ the Lord, the Son of God. Oh, how they must have felt. How those shepherds must have felt as they heard that one angel make that presentation. But to me, here's where it really, really gets good. Here's where it gets exciting. They told, the angel told them, He says, here's how you can know. Here's where you can find him. Go into the city, look through the stables, and find one that's got a little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. And I'm telling you what, they loaded up and went to Bethlehem. They probably just had to go a short distance. They were just outside the city, and they ran up there, and they went, and maybe they looked in this stable. It's dark. There's nothing there. Maybe they went to this one, and, well, it's not in mine. And they went over to this one, and they noticed, that one's got a little light in it. Let's see. And they found the child. Oh, and they worshiped him. They praised God for him, and they saw their hope. They saw their Savior. Folk, this Christmas, let us show the world their hope. Let us show the world what hope we have in our Savior. Let us show them that the world has hope, and it is in a man named Jesus Christ that we celebrate this Christmas, and we celebrate his birth. But folk, if the story ended right there, it'd be grand. But this is my favorite part. This is the best part. Folk, when God makes a birth announcement, I'm telling you, he makes a birth announcement. He makes a birth announcement. They came unto them and unto the shepherds, and they said, the announcement is that unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly, I'm telling you, instantaneously, all of a sudden, those shepherds are out there, their eyes are still wide, they're looking up there at that angel, and he's talking to them, he's making that a birth announcement, but I'm telling you, all of a sudden, there was with the angel, the one angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, I'm telling you, I believe tonight, to this morning, that evening, that night, that suddenly that one angel, he may have took center stage, but when he looked and they looked up, suddenly the entire sky was filled with an angelic host. I like to think this. They looked over here, and from the horizon to the horizon was an angelic host. And they looked out here, and from the horizon to the horizon was an angelic host. They looked straight up, and there were an angelic host. And you talk about a choir. Folks, let me tell you, I love the music of Christmas. I love our hymns, and I love to listen to it, was listening, I think they're a cult. Let me be bold. I think they're a cult, and I despise the ungodly doctrine that they teach, but folk, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir can sing. I'm telling you, they didn't hold a candle to this choir. They didn't hold a handle to this choir. And I'm telling you, when this choir broke out, the pitch was perfect. Every note was perfect. Everything was grand and glorious through the glory of God. And I'm telling you, they sang a short verse. They sang that night, that heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Can you imagine a host of angelic beings? I'm telling you, just an innumerable number of them, more than you can begin to comprehend. And they're all singing like it, with the beauty that Melissa sang this morning. Ooh, let me tell you what. They heard a choir presentation that night. I don't know if they sang anything else. But they said, glory to God in the highest. Folk, it was a night to glorify God. It was a night to glorify God, to praise God, to worship God, to adore God. It was a night to tell the people and the world that the Son has been born, that Jesus the Christ, the Savior, is here. Glory to God. Folk, if that's not part of your Christmas celebration, you're going to be terribly amiss in how you celebrate Christmas. Glory to God for what we have. There's nothing wrong with the exchanging of gifts and the festivities and the food and family. I hope you have a great time this week with all of that. But folk, let us glorify God. Let us glorify God. Glory to God in the highest. The ultimate, the God of all creation for what he has done. Because of what he has done, there will be peace on this old earth, and goodwill was delivered to man. Brother Sid, there's not any peace on this earth. There is for those who will accept Christ as their Savior. There are for those who will look to Christ and depend upon Him and praise Him and worship Him. I was given a compliment last night. Now, don't let me toot my own horn, please. No. And I don't know that it was meant as a compliment. I took it as that. A couple that we know, one of Charlotte's cousins and her husband, had just found out about Aaron, and they came to the hospital last night. We were sitting in the waiting area at that particular time. They run you out at part certain times. And Nancy said, I'm just so amazed at how much at peace you are. Now, folk, I've been worried this week. I've been scared this week. But I'm telling you what, that inner peace was there. Amen. Because of this baby that was born in Bethlehem. And I thought, man, I thank you, God, for the testimony that I have presented, not even realizing. Peace. The peace of God. Peace with God. Goodwill toward men. There's been never been a greater demonstration of goodwill toward men than what happened that night in Bethlehem. Folk, I'm telling you, let's look at the announcement of Christ. Let's look at how His Father announced His birth that first time. And let us make a commitment to God this morning that we will, through this Christmas season, in the next 3 or 4 days, that we will, when opportunity presents itself, make that same birth announcement to someone who needs Christ.